inside the Roundhouse, and I've just bumped into David Jennings, who has sponsored a couple of the bowls here. A
couple of them, yeah. I think I got the first one, actually, and then a couple of months later they had another push, and my son had just been born, and he's 13 months old, so he's got bowl 101, has got his name on.
They're not cheap, are they? Bowl 101 sounds slightly Orwellian.
I hadn't thought of that. It's 1.01. I mean, I know that's not very Web 2.0 and everything, but, you know, there you go. I can't remember what I paid, to be honest, but I mean, I've been a sort of long-term supporter of Long Player, so I'm just pretty pleased to do whatever.
So every year you go and see Long Player. Whereabouts do you go?
I go to Trinity Boy Wharf, which I think is the sort of main listening post in England. So it's East London. It's actually a very nice spot just across the river from the Millennium Dome or whatever it's called now. There's a sort of little sort of champagne and bagel reception each New Year's Eve, so I always go along there. But I've been some of the times you can go on Saturday. I think it's the first Saturday of the month you can go and visit as well. It's open then, and it's a very interesting spot. You know, sort of slightly wild part of East London, little artist community around there, but just overlooking the river. It's a really nice space.
Is that open to anybody every New Year's Eve?
It's open to everybody every New Year's Eve, and I think, as I say, I think it's the first Saturday of each month as well, from 11 until dusk or something like that. Check longplayer.org for details.
So you're obviously aware of the trust, and you say you've been a supporter for a while, since 1999?
Not since 1999. I moved to London in 2003, and I visited sort of shortly after that. Slightly weird coincidence was that I think I made my first donation through, and it goes, sort of goes through Jem Finer, and then he emailed me about a month or so later and said, "You're coming up as an author on my blog. How did you manage it?" I think he thought I'd hacked in or something. It turned out that we were both hosted by the same guy in the days when movable type hosting solutions were, you know, fairly thin on the ground, so it wasn't that much. I said, "Do you know a guy called Paul Makepeace?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's why."
So do you know Jem quite well?
Only through Long Player, really.
Yeah. How important is today, and why would you say that this project in general is important?
Well, I'm a big fan of long-term thinking in general. I think this idea that we've got to see beyond short-term horizons. Obviously, I'm going to go on about the current financial position and everything, but it's, I think you get a different perspective when you look at things from above, with a different sort of slightly different frame, time frame around the kind of horizon of events, if you like. In terms of the importance of today, I mean, I think it's the idea of Long Player is that it can be played in very different ways. That it's the main thing is actually running off a computer, but on very old hardware and fairly old software now. And so that hardware is not going to last forever, but the composition is designed to go on for 1,000 years. So this is just showing one other of the ways that it can be, that this composition can be performed, if you like, that it can be done by humans as well as by computers. And ultimately, I think, you know, they're looking at sort of mechanical and you know, fairly robust ways that don't depend on electricity and all those other things that, you know, we actually can't count on over 1,000-year time span.
It does raise some very big questions and makes me think some large and small thoughts. And I think one of the smallest thoughts I've had today is for actually the music itself. I haven't even thought yet about the composition. It's almost just been this ambient food, this background music, this almost soundtrack to potentially humanity, because for 1,000 years it's a big chunk of our life.
It's a weird piece, and I don't know how, because it's very easy to listen to it. I mean, the idea is that it never repeats itself within this time span of 1,000 years. But if you just have a casual acquaintance with it, it does sound fairly much the same each time. But I suspect that Jem could tell you that there are particular things where it clusters. I mean, it obviously does get through more dense at certain parts and more sparse at others, and that little themes will reemerge. Because basically there are seven, I think there are seven cycles that repeat on seven loops that repeat on different cycles. It's outside of human, it does force you to think beyond the frames of your own life and death, really.
Who knows, maybe the year 2432, this might actually be number one.
Will we still have charts then?
I hope not.
I hope we would have transcended all forms of fashion. In a way, I don't know. Fashion is art, and this may become just one of the...
If you look back 2,000 years, I think there were fashions then, actually, of a kind. So I doubt that we will have transcended that. But the idea of charts, I don't know. It would be nice to have Peter Powell introducing it.
Still going. It's phenomenal. I'm going to probably head over to some of the talks that are happening today. Are there any particular people you're interested in listening to?
Well, I'd have liked to have seen the sort of David Toop and Andrew Curting, but childcare and other responsibilities mean that I'm not going to get to do that, unfortunately.
Make sure you tell them in 50 years' time. Hopefully, they will appreciate your your care. And also appreciate the fact that your son's name is on one of the bowls.
Yes.
Thanks very much, David.
Thank you.